Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering, it's so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. We want to say welcome to another episode of The Sounds of Living Waters. I am Job Israel. And today, here with me is my wonderful rib, Rhea Serene Israel. And we are dealing with women of the Bible. You know, we were dealing with that Hebrew women of the Bible thing, and it turned out pretty decent. It turned out pretty decent. But, you know, it was short. So now we just decided, hey, why not just deal with women of the Bible and the things that they have done and the things that they have accomplished inside of the Word of God. So we are dealing with today, this morning, Leah and Rachel. What part did they play in the kingdom of God? I would have to say a huge part. What part did they play in prophecy? I would have to say a huge part. So let's get started. First, let's open up in prayer, and then we'll get started. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doeth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Remember thy congregation, which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thy inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolation, even all that the enemy have done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thy enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into the sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand? Pluck it out of thy bosom. For is my King of old working salvation in the midst of the earth? Amen May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I have read Psalm 74, verses 1 through 12. In Jesus' precious mighty name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us all our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their family. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but the light of blessing is because they see your light and kindness upon us. Father, have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth your Holy Spirit upon them as well and give them too a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and faith to perform it. In Jesus' name, we pray for your mercies and go forever. Amen.
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 So, once again, we are dealing with Hebrew women of the Bible. Just generally women of the Bible. They just happen to be Hebrew. And all of them wasn't Israelites, because remember now we got to consider the fact some of the women that we're dealing with wasn't even born yet, and they came out of the seed of Jacob. Well, being a Rachel was before the children of Israel.
Amen.
In fact, they're the mothers of the children of Israel, so we can't say this about the Hebrew children of Israel of the Bible. No, this is the women of the Bible. And that's how we're just going to leave it like that, the women of the Bible. Amen? So, with that being said, we are about to go live on Facebook. And those of us that have access to that, I'm going to welcome them as well.
Mm-hmm.
We want to welcome them as well.
Okay, ma'am. It's cool.
Okay. You're rocking my world.
I'm rocking
you
your world.
You are rocking
that's
my
right.
world.
Right.
So,
so many letters. Amen.
We are dealing with women of the Bible. You know, we had got a really good response from the Hebrew women of the Bible during Black History Month. So we just decided to title this Hebrew Women of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You see.
Yes,
so
yes, yes. Remember I told you I was doing that last week. Let's see. You were still
okay, we're good. We're back.
Yeah,
on.
Just keep going, baby. It's gonna right. Don't let that disturb
don't,
you. Don't
oh, because it's still rocking.
Yes. So
okay.
Just,
all right, well, thanks for giving me a heads. So, you know,
yeah,
I don't like watch, you
I know.
I don't watch these things.
No, so don't even pay that attention.
Okay.
Keep it flowing.
All right, well, anyway, so we're dealing with the Hebrew women of the Bible. Not Hebrew, like you're saying that because that's the way I...
We just left Black History.
Right, so, you know, what we're dealing with is just women of the Bible, just women of the Bible, and those things we're dealing with.
Oh, baby. What? You're live.
I know.
What's going on?
Every time you move
them. Okay, you must have it too close to the table.
I do.
Okay, so then...
No, just leave it like it is.
No,
just,
please.
No, I can't. Just leave it like it is.
Okay, well, okay. I do this every Sabbath. Don't have it so close to the table.
I won't next week.
Okay, I'll be cautious right now.
Yeah. All right, so we're dealing with Lee and Rachel, right? So we dealt with, first, why was a woman even created? That was the first thing, you know, and we should have started there because I don't think we get out enough attention. Then we dealt with who they are and their spirits. Then we dealt with Sarah, Rebecca. No, we dealt with Eve, Sarah, and Rebecca. And now we're dealing with Lee and Rachel. Mm-hmm. So what is it that they brought to the Word of God? That's the question. What did they bring to the Word of God? And why aren't their stories being perpetuated? And also, we got this stigma, man, from this Western mindset, this slave camp. This slave camp. We've been taught to dishonor them, not give them their full honor. We've been taught not to give Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, Bilhah, and I forget the third, fourth one, they full honor. Why? Because without them, the names of the gates of Jerusalem don't exist.
Amen.
And we want to judge their situation from a Western mindset, a homosexual mindset. May I ask?
May I add?
I can ask in, may I add? And then he will want to judge them and then bring up this word polygamy that don't even exist in the Bible. It don't even exist. But we want to bring that up because of this Western sodomite mindset from the church all the way down. But we're going to dispel that madness, man. We ain't about that life. We're about the truth.
Amen.
So let's get this started. Let's start this in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Proverbs 7 and 1. And when you receive it, read.
Amen. Proverbs 7 and 1 reads, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman.
Now, we got to ask ourselves, do Leah and Rachel fit these criteria? Are they wisdom? Are they understanding? Are they our sisters? Are they our kinswomen? Were they Jacob kinswomen? So do they fit that criteria? Go right into Proverbs chapter in verse 1. So we're not getting off into definition. We did all that at the beginning of this this study. Right now we're trying to get into the women work, right? So let's pick this up at 8 and 1, and when you receive it, read.
Amen. Proverbs 8 and 1 reads, do not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the door.
See, I can say that. I can say that safely, because without them, the gates of the city, according to Revelation, don't have a name. So she is crying at the gates. She is crying at the gates of the city. What city? New Jerusalem. Wisdom is. So can we say that Leah and Rachel fit this criteria? Yes, we can. We can say that safely because they the ones are the reason why there are names on the gate. We always talking about King David, Abishai, and one of my favorite generals, man, that never get no love, Joab. I mean, you know, we can sit up here and say, you know, hey, Joab had his faults, man, but that dude stuck by David, man, and he was one of them dudes you didn't want to mess with at all.
Amen.
He was a general of generals. But we talk about these men. We talk about Moses. We talking about Jesus, we talk about the apostles, we talk about Isaiah, we just go through the book, Solomon, and we never talk about the mothers. You know, so that's what we're doing. What they have to do in this book, the kingdom wasn't built on just men. God forbid. The kingdom wasn't built on man. The kingdom was built on both Adam and Eve.
Amen.
We even give Adam a bad rep. Why? Adam was a king. He was the first king. God called him sovereign. He gave him dominion over everything. And Eve. They were the first king and queens of the planet. Abraham, Israel were kings and queens. They were not anybody in captivity. They didn't exist in nobody. There was no one slave, not at any time. Ever. They were sovereign 100% from the beginning to the end. In fact, Abraham, we had the Egyptians in captivity. Ask Hagar. They was our servant first.
Amen.
Before we became theirs because of sin. So we need to pay attention to these things. Amen?
Amen.
Read on. Read that three again.
Proverbs 8 and 3. She cries at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man.
Amen. So she's calling the children of God. Her voice is to her children. So skip down to verse 22 and continue.
Amen. Verse 22 reads.
Yes, ma'am.
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way.
So she predestinated. Leah and Rachel predestinated. Yes. Are they made predestinated? That's the next question. If they're predestinated, then therefore they are written not only in the book of life, but they also going to the kingdom. We ain't got nothing to say about their walk, their works, their personal life, any of that. Shabbat shalom, Israelite. Amen. Shabbat shalom, sis. Continue.
Amen. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever there as well.
So her conversation, their conversation, our conversation is before time. If you predestinated, you were set up before there was anything. Your life was already called to be where it is today.
That's right.
So let's look at that. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, pick it up at verse 3. Because see, you know, we really give our mothers, Abraham and Sarah, Leah and Rachel, a bad rep. And then we want to say, well, see, and then justify our arrogance and our judgmental mentality in this Western homosexual mindset to judge them. We are out of control with this mindset. We need to set ourselves free and understand that they were free.
Amen.
Look at here. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Ephesians 1 and 3 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world.
There it is. Were they chosen before the foundation of the world? You know what? I can say that because Leah and Rachel named New Jerusalem the gates of the city. Mm-hmm. I can safely say that they was chosen from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Continue.
Amen. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame.
So how are we blaming them on anything? How are we going to blame Leah and Rachel and Jacob in their conversation, how they brought forth the 12 tribes of Israel? How are we going to blame them? We can't put no blame on them because the law say they were without blame. Amen. So now here you come. Now here we come from this Western world, and we want to judge Leah and Rachel and say they were polygamists. That word ain't even in the Bible. No, I'm not teaching polygamy. And no, I'm not telling dudes in this Western world that can exist among us, because this Western world ain't built on that. You might as well go marry you two dudes. There'll be more. I'm just saying, they more built on that than they are on this conversation. But see, the rest of the world don't follow this Western mindset. They like, man, we ain't having that over here. You should hear the rest of the world. But in this media, they want to sit up here. You can hire your children dressing like little girls and little, oh my God, we are sick like the flu. Sick. But we want to judge them because Jacob had Leah and Rachel to wife and they servants to wife. Abraham had Hagar to wife. And that's a deep conversation in itself. Why? Because Sarah and Hagar is in prophecy.
Amen.
The children are in prophecy. Isaac and Ishmael fit the creation prophecy. We got to leave all that alone. We better try to get into the book of life. We better try to get into the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. He showed it before the first day. Read on.
Amen. Ephesians 1 and 4 again reads.
Yes, ma'am.
According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
And look at here, before the foundation of the world, ain't that wisdom? He said, I was brought forth before there was anything, before he created nothing. Amen. Yeah, he had to create nothing to put something in it. So before he created nothing, she was there. She was called wisdom. And you was there if you are part of the plan of God. This is that conversation. Skip down to verse 11 and continue.
Ephesians 1 and 11 reads, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will.
What are we doing? He worketh all things by the counsel of his will. Now we're judging God. We judging the Most High God. We judging the Father. We judging the book of the prophets. All because of a Western ignorance. We can't do that.
Amen.
We can't. So our point being is that lead out alone. Don't judge them. Be observatory.
Amen.
Being observant. Read the book. Read it and, you know, see what this is going before you decide to sit up here and put them in your little box. And mind you and I, when I say little box compared to God, you ain't even got one. We don't have one. We're trying to fit in his. And then on top of that, we're trying to stay in it. So the last thing I want to do is judge anything the Father is doing.
Amen.
The last thing I want to do is judge anything that's against, that he said is for the purpose of his goodwill. Leah and Rachel is a part of that plan. So are they wisdom? Are they understanding? Are they prophetic? Because wisdom is prophetic. Are they prophetic? Can they prophesy? Are they written in the book to prophesy? I can say yes, 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 yes to all of the above. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go back. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 and 4. Because remember now, we asked the question was Sarah, wisdom, understanding, virtuous. We asked the same question about Rebecca, and we found out they passed all them tests with flying colors, right? Okay, Proverbs 12 and 4, when you receive it, read.
Proverbs 12 and 4 reads, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones.
Did Sarah make Abraham ashamed at any time? No. How about Rebecca? No. So she was they were crowns to their husband. They were virtuous women. Now, our question is this. Do Leah and Rachel fit this criteria? And what do you mean a crown to? That makes her wisdom a queen. because she has a crown on her head. Right?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10.
Proverbs 31 and
10. Yeah, we want to talk about, I'm a queen, don't know how to even be one. Don't have an idea what it takes to be one. First of all, you have to have wisdom. You have to have understanding. You have to be virtuous.
Yes.
And we looked up all these definitions just to break it down and sow the seeds so that our sisters, our mothers can start flourishing from those things. And if you haven't heard us do that, if you see us reading these things, now go look at the definition of these words so you can plant them in your being so they can
right.
grow.
Yes,
so you can continue to grow in God.
Amen.
People talk about, oh, I feel like I ain't growing. Well, maybe you need to go back and read what you created for. Maybe that. Maybe that'll be the thing to do. Then you start growing again. You know, you start sprouting some new branches and some new leaves and stuff like that, you know. Proverbs 31 and 10, when you receive it, read.
Proverbs 31 and 10 reads, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies.
We found out you can't find her. She's not to be found. You're not going to go to the club looking for her. She's delivered to you.
Amen.
She's brought to you. And we found out through the law that she come with prayer.
Amen.
She's coming with prayer. If you don't pray for her and then ask for her in the right way, God ain't going to bring her to you. Not the Father.
Amen.
You know, we're going to get us one of these westernized mindset women. Because we didn't approach God the way we were supposed to, like Abraham did, like his servant did, for Isaac, for Rebecca. And we're going to find out Jacob didn't approach God for his wife like his father did. He just thought Isaac's prayer was going to walk him. You know what I mean? And that's... You know, I can see that. I can see how we can feel that, understanding where we're coming from. But he was supposed to pray for her.
Amen.
And we're going to find out he did not.
Amen.
Go to Revelations 12 and 1. Because remember now, who can find a virtuous woman? Right? And then he says she's a crown to her husband. Right? So where is she? You can't find her. She's in heaven. She's in heaven. Shalom, Israelite. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. She's in heaven. That's where she's at. So that's where we got to go get her. Revelations 12 and 1, when you receive it, read.
Revelation 12 and 1 reads, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars.
There it is. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, and she got a crown of 12 stars, which is the 12 tribes of Israel. Do Leah and Rachel fit this criteria? Shalom, Brother Devin. Love you, man. Shalom.
Oh, shalom, Brother Devin.
Yes.
He's up right early.
Yes.
Okay.
I know you're getting this precepts together.
Amen.
So right here, we can see that Leah and Rachel fit this criteria because they're the reason why there's a crown of 12 stars. Read on.
Verse 12, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered.
Do they fit this criteria? Of course they did. Leah and Rachel both was going through this. And so they both fit this criteria. We're not getting all off in the rest of this prophecy, although it do fit. But we just point out the fact, do this prophecy fit them? Amen? So if we can say this, then we can say that, yes, they are a part of prophecy. Yes, they are wisdom and understanding. Yes, they are virtuous. And yes, they were predestinated.
Amen.
They were so predestinated. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18.
Genesis 2:18.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. Genesis 2:18 reads, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground."
So he said it's not good. So do Leah and Rachel fit the criteria of being helpmeets? We read the fruits of the spirit of a helpmeet, wisdom, virtue, right? Understanding, kinswoman. We read all those criteria. Do they fit these criteria? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Because without them, there's no 12 tribes of Israel. So they were a big help in the plan of God. You see, so we can't put them on blast. We can't judge them. We can't judge nothing about them. They were free. They were born free. Leah and Rachel's father was the kings of Mesopotamia. Are we listening? They weren't just daughters of a king. They were the daughters of the king of Mesopotamia.
Amen.
So let's not put them in our little box. We still captives. And we judging them. No, observe their stories. Read the story. Be an observatory, like you looking at the stars and you trying to see how they manipulate themselves. Look at their stories and see how it manipulate processes.
Right. Amen.
Be an observer, not judgmental, or you don't want God to pull your card.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. You don't want him to judge us. So we better not be putting our mouths on them. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis 28. In verse 1, and we're going to read 1 and 2. When you receive it, read.
Amen. Genesis 28.
Yes, ma'am.
1 and 2.
Yep.
Genesis 28, verse 1 reads, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go unto Padanaram."
Padanaram. Is that in the United States?
No.
Is that in America? Is that in Europe? Is that in Australia? Is that in any Western world? Any Western world? No. Continue.
"Arise, go into Padanaram, to the house of Bethel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from..."
So they were kinswomen. So they fit that. So they are understanding. So the Lord said, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and say unto understanding, thou art my kinswoman. There they are, right there, verse 2. There they are. So they are that. They are daughters of Abraham's father. They fam. They kinswoman. So they didn't come with that madness of eating pig and all that type of stuff. We didn't. Shem wasn't no pig eater. I don't know what happened to Japheth and Ham and all of that, but the Semitic children don't eat pig. Ask Ishmael. Ishmael still don't eat pig. Continue. Oh, that's good. That's good. Go to Genesis 29 and verse 1. So he said, go, arise, and go to Padanaram.
Padanaram.
Go there.
Genesis 29 and 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Genesis 29 and 1 reads, "Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east."
Stop. That's your first mistake. Those of us that want to judge them and talk about and use this conversation to justify what polygamy is, and that's the first problem. He said, Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east, not America. These laws here don't apply to those laws there. And they don't apply to the laws around the world. You see, once again, I had a brother accuse me, say, "Oh, I heard that you be teaching this, that, you did it." I said, man, look. Lying on me.
No, what is do-do-do? I mean,
just running on with the mouth.
What?
You know, polygamy.
Oh, okay.
I don't teach polygamy. I'm just not gonna lie against the law.
That's right. No,
I'm not here to satisfy no woman or man. I'm here to teach this book, and I'm gonna teach the law for what it says. If you got a problem with it, you gotta take that over God, but you're not gonna take it over me. You're gonna make me your problem. No, you won't.
That's right.
No, you will not, and neither will I get in your boat or box so that you can sit up here and so I can go along with you. I'm not that man. He said Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the East, Abraham's family, not America, not Europe. They're not Abraham's family.
Amen.
Pay attention to this conversation. Read on.
Amen. And verse 2 reads, Genesis 29:2. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flock, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. Okay. Verse 5. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the
son
of Nahor?
He said what? He said, My brothers.
My brethren.
He said, My brothers. Wait a minute. That means he had to look at them. They must have looked. He said, My brothers. You know, so obviously he ain't in Europe. Obviously he ain't in America.
Amen.
Because Americans don't talk like that. They learned that from us. They learned that. My bro, bro, bro.
Bro,
they,
bro.
You can't
that,
even, they can't.
Came up like four.
I mean, like, Jesus, man, it's like, it's getting like a heavy tread. But we've been saying that since we can remember. Bro this, bro that. He said, my brother, my brother, the brothers of the East. Jesus is coming from the East. He said, as the sun rises from the East, so shall I come. And we're going to judge this conversation. I don't think so. We're not going to hide that. Not here. And no, I do not promote that here because this country do not support it. It don't work. If it do work, God bless you. But most time, more times than not, this is hell on wheels in this Western world. But you can go in Arabia. You can go in Asia. You can go in different parts of South America. Boom. And it just like, okay, because they was born and raised in this mindset.
That's right.
In this world, you'd be better off dressing up your boy like a little girl.
What?
See what we judging? See what we lifting up?
Mm.
See, this rabbit hole get deep, man. Our filth get deep. The further we go into that madness, the deeper it get and the greater the sin become. Read on.
Amen. Genesis 29:5 reads, And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, is it yet high day? Neither is it time.
Here come Rachel, right? And here, now, Jacob got to be saying, Oh, man, this is the same thing how it happened with my father and my mama, right? No, this ain't the same way it happened.
Okay.
Even though here she come, mm-hmm. and she was keeping the sheep like her auntie,
mm-hmm.
Rebecca, right? But this is not how this happened. Continue.
Verse 7, and he said, Lo, is it yet high day? Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. Verse 8, and they said, We cannot until all the flocks we gather together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep.
Uh-huh.
And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban,
couldn't get any closer to that. Now, this is automatically from God. Man, look, you my mother's niece? You are the daughter of my mother's brother? Oh, God got me set. I'm good. Because remember now, he just got through talking to him. God just got through talking to him. He told him he's going to make him a great nation too. So obviously, here come Rachel, right? Read on.
Amen. Verse 10, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept.
Okay, now let's stop here for a minute.
Okay.
First of all, this is not how Isaac got his wife. I mean, it's really close. It's very similar, mm-hmm. but it's not. And I'm going to tell you what's missing from this conversation. Even though Isaac told him to go and find him a wife from his brother, mm-hmm. right? His mother's brother, right? And so now Jacob is on his way. He done met Rachel. And now he just, you know, he figured, man, this is all good. This is straight up from God, right? Mm-hmm. So now let's look at this. This what was missing from this conversation. Go to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 11.
Genesis 20,
because this is how he found, this how the wife of Isaac was found. That is to say, Rebecca, right? So Isaac told him to go do the same thing, but Jacob missed the memo here. This is what he missed. Watch this. 24 and verse 11, when you receive it, read.
Genesis 24 and verse 11 reads, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God.
See, what did you hear, Ray? What did you hear Jacob praying for? At any time, he did not ask God to send her. He didn't approach God for her. You see? So now we got to act. We act like the devils ain't moving, the spirits ain't moving in. No, it moved. It sent Rachel first instead of Leah.
Amen.
Because the spirits knew that he was on his way to get a wife from his mother's brother.
Amen.
So the first one they sent was Leah.
Amen.
Because Jacob didn't approach God concerning Amen. Her, right? And he didn't approach God the right way concerning her, right?
Amen.
Read on.
Okay. Verse 12. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also.
See, that's something that when you're looking for a breakthrough, that's what you do. You put something on it so you can make sure it's from God. Now, you don't have to make it super intricate, you know, like, God, I need a breakthrough. So look, Lord, please send someone in a yellow shirt with red shoes driving a clown's vehicle with a big red nose and let them hand me a message from you, and I know it's from you. You don't have to do all that. You know, just, hey, something simple. Lord, let her be dressed in white,
Amen.
Have on a white shirt, and let her be eating a sandwich, and let her offer me half. Something just as simple. Something as simple as that. Because this isn't a lot to ask. It's just like, boom, just like that, right? Okay, so like you said, who can find a virtuous woman? Who can you can find her. She is in prayer. She's in heaven. God is going to send her, right? Amen. So this man is approaching God for Jacob's Isaac's wife.
Did he do it in the privacy of his own mind?
Well, we're going to read that, right?
Oh, okay.
Continue.
When you speak things out, somebody will do what you
But see, said. That's what happened. He knew, well, the spirits knew that he was on his way to get a wife. Uh-huh. Right? Because uh-huh. they spoke it out. Uh-huh. But the thing was, even though Abraham spoke it out and told his servant what to do, his servant was a wise dude. He was super up there in the spirit. And when you look for breakthroughs, you don't speak them things out. You let them things come to pass. Mm-hmm. Breakthroughs are for, let's read that. Keep reading.
Okay. Genesis 24:14 reads, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Verse 15, "And it came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder."
Okay, so now he praying before he even got through praying.
Right.
Here she come, right? But wait a minute. Let's see how he approached God. Skip down to verse 45.
Amen. Genesis.
Look how he approached God for. See, this is what Jacob didn't do. He missed his memo. Read on.
Verse 45 reads, "And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth."
So you don't speak your prayers. You're looking for a breakthrough. You're looking for something from God that you know is an absolute.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Before I had done speaking in my heart."
Amen.
Here come Rebecca. So this is that conversation.
Amen.
He said, "Before I was done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth with the pitcher on her shoulder." That's a breakthrough. That's a breakthrough prayer, because you don't speak breakthroughs out into existence. You let them come to pass.
Amen.
Then you know that that thing is from God. That's why I say, you know, if you're looking for a virtuous wife, and if you're patient enough to wait on God, because he might try you and see if you're patient.
Amen. Amen.
But you ask for a specific thing. Lord, let her have on a, say, a colorful hair covering and a pink top, eating a sandwich.
Oh, I got to eat a sandwich now. I ate one last night.
And offer me half.
And I made you one, too. I didn't ask for you half. I made you your own.
That's, look, people. Just something as simple as that. It don't have to be extravagant, you know, because you got people, man, you know, they don't believe in God unless it's extraordinary, man, you know. This woman, this person came and prophesied to me, and they said, "You're going to do this and that and the other before God," and I didn't even know who they was. It just sounded really good. Okay. Well, we'll just wait and see. But when it comes to breakthroughs, now, if somebody come to you and say that, then you know it's from God, because Amen. You didn't speak it in existence, because God is the only one that can read minds.
Amen.
When he was on this planet, he was the only one that can read minds. Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8 and 30-something, I think it's 36, and he says, "God, thou only knoweth what's in the hearts of men." Only. Not even the devils know. The angels of heaven don't even know what's in your mind. Mm-hmm. They only be like shocked, like, because the book say we spectacles, they be shocked. They could be shocked on the worst that you're doing, or they could be shocked on the foolishness that you're doing. Or we doing, I should say.
Thank you. Amen.
But when we looking for a breakthrough, you don't speak those things in existence. This is something Jacob didn't do. He did not approach God like this. So here come Rachel, and he assumed she was from God. How many times that happened to us? And then found out that woman was a bat out of hell. Then you sit up there, now you mad at your preacher. You said, because I laid with her, I'm married to her. Man, that chick is bat crazy. You don't know her because she giving you tears.
Oh, say that, man. That's the truth.
You don't know because she could come up and
we're not the Tin Man, baby.
The hell? The Tin Man ain't got no heart.
Oh. If I only had a heart. Stop it.
So, No. If we had just, you know.
OMG.
So watch this. You're going to see that conversation in this, right? Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 29 and verse 9. 29 and 9. And no. Pick it up at 11.
Genesis 29 and 11.
Yes, ma'am.
And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father.
See, now she knew the story too. So naturally she thought that this whole thing is playing itself over again, right? Read on.
Amen. Verse 13 reads, and it came to pass when Laban heard this tidings of Jacob, his sister's son.
He thought he was going to see camels of gold and silver and all. Laban a trip. Read on. He just came by himself.
Amen. 13. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. 14. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh.
See, she's a kinswoman. Rachel is a kinswoman. Leah is a kinswoman. So both of them fit that criteria of understanding. Right?
Amen.
Read on.
And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?
Uh-huh.
And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, and Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
So, and this is a running thing, man. Like, that's a joke. You know, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Like Leah was butt ugly or something, and that's not true. You know, and you got women mocking her. You got preachers teaching this story, making fun of her. And she's a queen in the gospel. She's a queen in the grand scheme of things. She's the mother of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we are calling her ugly. We have it in us to mock her looks. The book didn't say she was ugly. It just said that Rachel looked better. But it said this. It said she was tender-eyed, right? So I'm going to look up this word, tender. All right? Going to look up the word tender. And we're going to find out. It is a spirit. Are you there or am I just reading it? Right
no,
now?
You can read it because I'm going to read it differently.
Okay, it says right here, it says considerate, protective, solicitous, easily hurt, sensitive, characterized by expressing gentle emotions, loving. So this is Leah. So she is wisdom. This is her spirit. You know, and the Proverbs say beauty is vain. Proverbs said beauty is vain, but she that praises the Lord, she shall be praised, right? So it says this, given to sympathy or sentimental, soft, right? Tender. Let me read on. It says, easily broken, cut, crushed, soft, not tough, vulnerable, sensitive. So she's an empath. She's an empath, right? It says this, kind. She's kind, merciful, sympathetic, having or expressing warm and affectionate feelings, gentle, delicate, requiring care and handling, sensitive to moral and spiritual feelings. So not only is she an empath to physical, but she's sensitive to the spirit. It says this, careful and protective. It says tenderly. All right, well, then that's good.
I want to read mine.
Okay, what do yours say?
Tender, an attendant, overseer, supervisor, caretaker, creator, inspector, supervisor, controller, surveyor.
So she was already called to be the mistress. That is to say, the queen, because she was once. If she married Jacob, he's the heir to Isaac. Isaac is a king. Therefore, she is going to be a queen. So she had these attributes as well. Continue.
Amen. It says proposal, suggestion, offer, offering, currency, coin, tender, metal, form or type. And then it says soft, tender, gentle, dainty, mellow, fine, sensitive, thin-skinned, touchy, amen, fragile, amen, submissive, submit, apply, to serve, to present, to offer, to propose.
So all these are fall upon the criteria of a
right.
Helpmeet.
That's right.
So she is a helpmeet. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so now we see Leah. We looking at the wrong things, you know, because, this thing just bothered me.
That she said me was ugly?
I'm reading, you know, every now and again, because I'm in and out of Facebook, and I'm not really in it like that, but I'm in and out of it. And this tread come past. Leah must have been butt ugly. Who told you you can say that about that woman? Who told you you can say that about Leah? Who told you that can be in your mouth? Like God ain't gonna come down and say, was you not afraid to speak against my daughter?
Amen.
All because we can see Rachel was beautiful,
mm-hmm,
and well-favored. It didn't even say she was fair. Fair come with understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and all that type of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it don't even say she is fair. It says she was beautiful and well-favored, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and naturally, you know, we've seen this growing up. I've seen a lot of children grow up, a lot of girls grow up, a lot of boys grow up, and things like that. And I seen women grow up, and I seen women that was treated really, really different because they were cute when they was little, and they grew up with funky attitudes when they got grown. and they start trusting in their looks. You know, where the sisters that was kind of on the average to the, you know, not exactly average, they have to work.
Good and bad hair, your girlfriend, good and bad hair, see if I can.
That's it.
Dark, light, good hair, bad hair.
All right, Spike Lee brought it. Yes, go look at School Days. They sung it. Good and bad hair, right? But you can see the difference even in a Spike Lee flick, right? That in Spike Lee flick, she was about to move. She was about the people. She was about the kingdom work, right? But then in the flick, you know, you had on the other side, she was all about her looks and then ended up getting used up. Big difference. And that's pretty much how it turns out, you know. So we got to be conscious of that.
Amen.
You know, and not to make a difference because you got one daughter, she's really beautiful, and then you got another daughter that's kind of good looking. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't make the difference. You got to love them the same, like raising your sons up, and you giving all this attention to this dude, and you ain't giving him no attention. You know what's going to happen?
Young man.
And he's going to have a problem with him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Continue.
Okay. Genesis 29:18, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
So, here come the prophecy. Here come the wisdom part. Here come the prophecy. I'm going to serve you 7 years, right? Go to Leviticus chapter 25 and pick it up at verse 1. Leviticus 25 verse 1. Because now we falling in the law coming up on the Jubilees. This is how you count the Jubilees. This is how you count when we are going to be delivered.
Amen.
So here comes Jacob saying, I'll put in 7 years for this, right? Watch this. Leviticus 25 and verse 1, when you receive it, read.
Amen. Leviticus 25 and 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard.
Who's talking? This is the Lord talking, right? But here's the thing. It was the Lord that was talking the whole time. That was God telling Moses about Leah and Rachel. So if he said it, then we don't have nothing to say. Because he's giving it to Moses to write. Moses wasn't there. Moses wasn't even born yet. So the God of Israel was giving it to Moses. Moses is the first scribe. That's what the law said. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Moses was the first scribe. He wrote the things that belong to God. So here it is. It was God that's telling us the story of Leah and Rachel. It was God that told us the story of Sarah and Hagar. It was God that said that Hagar became Abraham's wife. He said that, not Moses. So we got to be careful with that so-called polygamy nonsense. We got brothers and sisters doing lessons on this to judge them. And we not realizing that that was God that spoke that. We better pump our brakes because he the one that said that, not them. And when you look at their stories, they are so prophetic. So we definitely better leave that alone. Read on.
Amen. Leviticus 25 and 3 reads, 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. Verse 4. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard.
Okay, so now we see the prophetic. He said, I'll work a week. He said, I'm going to work a week. There go your prophetic week right there. Amen. Go to Daniel's chapter 9 and 24. Daniel 9 and 24. Let's see how far this ran. He says, so now we see in the law that a prophetic week or a week to God is in the law, in Levi. Not just any law, it's in Levi. So we really better step back. It's in Levi, the ones that brought in the Melchizedek priesthood. Amen. 9 and 24, when we receive it, read.
Daniel 9 and 24 reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people.
70 weeks. Okay, so 70 times 70 weeks times 70. Let's do the math. Okay, those of us that have calculators. Amen.
70 times 70.
Yeah.
That's 4,900.
So that's 490. 490, baby. So that was 490 years, right? So that's prophetic.
What? Say that again.
Seven times. 70.
Seven, hold on. Let me go back. So seven
times 70, 490 years. Okay. That's prophetic. So this God spoke this to Daniels through Moses. He spoke it through Daniels, through Moses, through Jacob. And we in this conversation. Like I said, we should be better off just being observers. Observing. Where is this going? You know, even if you don't agree with it, please be quiet, because you don't want to be speaking against anything that's good. Because the book said they speak evil of things they know not, speak evil of dignities they don't understand. You don't want to be that person, because he said they are dried up, and we don't want to be that conversation. We don't want to be no one that's speaking against anything in this book. Period. Even the name of Jesus. You don't even want to do that either. That's a part of the captivity. Shut up and like it. You can make up any name you want. Yahweh, Elohim, all that old madness. If it ain't in the King James Bible, you can't use it. Go find a book dedicated to your feelings. But remember this. That book that you go get, it's going to be based off of the one that you got a problem with. Read on.
Okay. Daniel 9 and 24 reads, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make a reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy.
Amen. So 70 weeks are determined. So from the point that Darius, he gave the proclamation in 516 BC, right? So from that point, you know, then Xerxes, this is the one in 300 that with all the chains on him, on his nipples, all on his head, and you know, he big and tall, and he wanted to be worshipped like a god and all of that. And Leonidas with his painted abs and speedo shorts, you know, he want to be like, you know, I'm the hero of this flick with all these other naked dudes. So this whole film was like about a bunch of dudes that I do. And then they're going to make a Xerxes a side, man. He the one that gave Ezra and Nehemiah not only the authority, the power, the paperwork, he also gave them the money and the material to build a temple for Jesus to come back.
Amen.
To build a temple for Jesus to come back.
Amen.
That's what he did. And here we are. We are judging him. We let this funky movie gonna turn one of these strangers, right, that actually loved our God. We let this movie teach us that he didn't. In fact, the second movie was even worse. He went and worshiped the devil and got this big power, right? I'm like, oh my God. And then people who don't know history, they don't read the book, they don't read time, they don't read prophecy, they get all caught up in that. And they just assume that this is the truth. Mm-hmm. Or maybe history really went that way, and it did not.
Amen.
This guy here is the reason why there was a temple for Jesus to come back. That temple that he commissioned to be built was the one that Rome destroyed 490 years later.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came into that temple, that's him. Xerxes. You look at that movie 300, you might as well be looking at a bunch of homosexual movies. Ain't nothing but a bunch of dudes. The only thing I do with that flick is I can kick all them cats in that hole and say, this is Israel. And kick them into the abyss.
Amen.
You do not touch the messengers of God. You don't touch the messengers. And what was the only real black dude in the movie? He was a messenger, and they killed him. Are we not paying attention?
Oh.
Did not Leonidas get his so-called commission from the devils on top
right.
of that mountain?
Yes,
he got it from the devils.
That's right, baby. Teach.
So pay attention to this stuff, man. Yeah. So they telling you that the things that belong to God, they switching it around and making it seem like it's from Satan. Don't buy that. Like Marley said, don't let them fool you. Oh, no. Don't let them school you. Oh, no.
Amen.
You better read your books. You better get you some history.
That's right.
So that's Xerxes. So now we see that Leah and Rachel is in this conversation. And here we are looking at their bed. We in they dirt. We in they nasty. We ain't supposed to even be there. We're not supposed to have no opinion on what a man do with another, with his wife. None.
Amen.
We can have an opinion on what a man do with another man's wife, but we can't have an opinion on what a man do with his wife. And that's the problem. Preach a man, stay out of other man's business. Where are we? Okay, we're good with that. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 18. 29 and 18, forgive me. Genesis 29 and 18.
And then 29.
And don't get me wrong, I was spellbound by, 300. When I first saw it, I was like, that animation was dope. You know, they had them all in slow motion and whatnot, and they was looking all cool, getting gashed out, you know. That's part of that's my fault, man. I like violence, man. I do. I'm attracted to, maybe I'm a Levite. You ain't heard it from me. But Levi ain't no joke when it comes to that sword. If you got through the 12 tribes, and you call yourself getting to the Ark of the Covenant, Jack, you had to get past Levi. And if you got to Levi, you better be coming with it. Because they was the Mercs. That was the special. That was your Navy SEAL. That was your Green Beret. They was no joke. They led the battle.
Amen.
Read on. 29:18.
Yes, sir. Genesis 29:18 reads, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said,
we're in Genesis 29 and 18. We're in Genesis 29 and 19 now. Continue.
Genesis 29 and 19. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto him, and Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country.
Stop. So how you judging them from here? It must not be so done in our country.
That's right.
Leave that alone. Ain't no such thing as polygamy here. Leave that alone. We ain't in no place to judge here. He said, if it is not to be done in our country, and Mesopotamia is a big joint at this time,
mm-hmm.
and he was a king of Mesopotamia, that was day laws. So we got to leave that alone, man. We can't be judging the world from this slave camp. Everybody that come to the Americas, talking about the land of the free, find out they end up having to work 24/7 just to eat and pay their bills. They become the biggest slaves on the planet.
Amen.
They left their country where they was working 4 days a week, eating fresh food every day. Went to school, they had fresh cooked meals. Got here, now their children eating processed everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. You know why? Because you don't feed your slaves what the masters eat.
Amen.
So you being taught to eat at those places. You've been taught that's what slaves eat. But then they wouldn't even stop there for nothing. They wouldn't eat that garbage with your mouth. So he said, Laban said, it must not be so done in our country, because they're the children of the East. America is the West. Big difference. Hey, let me explain something to you. Memo, mm-hmm. right? This ain't Sodom and Gomorrah here. You living in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Amen.
Now, work on that one.
Amen.
Leave that conversation alone. Stop judging.
Amen.
Read on.
Okay, Genesis 29 and 27 reads, fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also.
Uh-huh.
And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years.
So this is God talking to Moses. Read Genesis 28 and 29 again.
Okay. Genesis 28 and verse 29 reads.
Yeah.
No, Genesis
28. 29. 29, 29. When you receive it, read.
Genesis 29 and 29 reads. And Laban gave Rachel his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be...
28, 29, 28.
29 and 28. And yeah. Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also.
So this is the God of Israel. Mm-hmm. Let me hold this up because, see, I see now that, you know, the world don't want this to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to hold that conversation
right
quick.
Yeah, this is good, baby. This is really good.
It says, yep, Genesis 29, 28, and read that again.
Genesis 29 and 28 reads, let's go back to 29 and 28. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also.
This is Melchizedek telling Moses what he's seen, and Moses is writing it down. So if the God of Israel say Rachel is his wife, we can't usurp authority from that. Can't take nothing from it.
Amen.
The only reason why this conversation went south, and this is how we justify it, because the conversation went south. The only reason why the conversation went south is Laban, he twisted the thing up. He lied. But the God of Israel is showing us this thing. He said, it is not so to be done in our country. So we're not talking about from here. We can't judge them from here.
Amen.
We got to read them books and say, man, they free. I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Read on. Go to 31 and continue. Yeah, continue. Just continue. Verse 30.
Genesis 29 and 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, and Rachel was barren.
Who opened her womb?
The Lord.
So he in the middle of this. He in this. And we judging them like God ain't there. Read on.
And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord had looked upon my affliction.
Prophecy. Continue.
Now therefore my husband will love me.
Super prophecy. Read on.
And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated.
Prophecy.
He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Thank you.
Yes. Continue.
Verse 34, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him 3 sons.
Whoa!
Therefore was his name called Levi.
The priest. Mm. He said, this time my husband will be joined unto me because of Levi. Right?
Mm.
And what did Levi do? Let's go into, keep reading, because we're going to come back and we're going to deal with this some more. We're just going to go into detail. Read on.
So the last verse reads, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah.
So out of Judah came Jesus.
Amen.
So Levi enjoined Jesus. Levi baptized Judah twice.
Amen. Amen.
Levi baptized Judah twice. He baptized them under Moses,
mm-hmm.
and he baptized them when Jesus came.
Amen.
So Levi did enjoin God to man.
Mm-hmm.
He's 3. And here comes 4, Judah. And when you look at these things in a prophetic sense, Judah is 4. And if you look at the 4th day of the creation, that's light. That's light. When you look at the third day in the creation, what was Levi at? In the wilderness. Both times. With Moses and with John the Baptist. That's prophecy too. If you've been following the creation precept, we see that. This thing is way bigger than what we've been given it. You see?
Amen.
So, with that being said, we're going to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. And we want to encourage our brothers and sisters to be back here in about an hour and 20 minutes. And we're going to be dealing with the creation. And we're still in the third day, and we're wrapping it up at the third day, right?
Amen.
We're dealing with the seeds, the grass, the trees, and the fruit of the trees. So now we're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So you want to be back here at, let's see, 10 o'clock.
Central Standard Time.
Yeah. So you want to be back here 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. So you want to be back, like I said, you want to be back here 10 o'clock Central Standard Time.
Okay.
Well, I had to keep saying it because this thing
is... No, don't worry about that. Just keep it flowing. They want you to be distracted. Don't do that.
All right.
Just keep it flowing, babe.
Who are they? Who
right,
them people?
Exactly.
Who are them peoples?
Just keep it
alright, we'll be back here at that hour.
Exactly.
And we'll see you then. Amen?
Amen.
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 Shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, fam. Amen.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.